addresses the issue raised by PDOT with respect to the intersection Northeast 6th Drive, Philoma, and Marine Drive, which I'm, by the way, familiar with.
Right on the first page of the December 11th letter, it says, "Note the."
I'm looking at January 9th.
There was a preliminary report from the same traffic engineer.
Thank you. Okay.
In the last paragraph on that letter,
the first page,
the traffic engineer found that the proposed zone change would add no trips to the northbound Northeast 6th Drive approach.
But this is your
client's traffic
engineer's statement. I'm looking for something from PDOT that they
concluded
that they agree. I would expect your client's engineer to say that. I'm looking for our staff's response to that, saying we agree that that addresses the issue.
Well, I can't tell you where they said I agree to this sentence, but this report and the subsequent one were given to Mr. Haley, who then said, I have no problem with this application.
The hearings officer.
No, Mr. Haley from PDOT was he's the traffic engineer for the city. He was at the hearing, in front of the hearings officer. He said, I've read all the material and I support the application.
Okay, I'm just looking at the hearings officer's report and that's not apparent.
He's listed as one of the witnesses who testified and there is a tape of that.
Is it on page 9 on the second paragraph down?
Well, again, yes. But the question that I've asked is, any necessary mitigation for traffic impacts can occur at the time of the development. And it looks like what the hearings officer is saying is, I acknowledge that PDOT has identified this as a failing intersection. And however, in the future, when a development is approved, I would hope that as a condition of agreement that this failing intersection is addressed. And that kind of gets to the heart of my concern. I'm asking, how in one case can he say, I can't anticipate what may or may not happen in future development applications. I have to look at this application based on its merits and the approval criterion. Which is, can we provide services to the site? Then in this instance, he's saying, however, it appears that if you take a snapshot, look at the proposed development today, our traffic engineer folks say it's a failing intersection, therefore they can't agree to any zone changes. However, what appears could happen is at the time of a development application, the city could require as a condition of approval of that development that these mitigation efforts at that intersection, 6th and Philoma and Marine Drive, be addressed so that the application can be approved. It feels like there's two different things happening there. He's saying, on the one hand, I'm not going to anticipate what may or may not happen in an application. On the other, he's doing exactly that.
Well, not really.
And that's why. So I'm having some I'm troubled by the hearings officer's reasoning.
There's one material distinction, though. We know the situation at 6th and Marine. It's an existing failing intersection.
Right.
That's a fact. We know that.
Right.
We don't know what the development's going to be. So the hearings
officer. We know it's going to be houses.
We know it's going to
add people.
We know it's going to add people.
Okay. So there's no designation less than F. So it's bad. It's just got to get worse.
But Commissioner Lennon, can I just jump in here? I mean, at least with my history on these things, the presumption is that, which may not be the case here, I'm not implying that he's going to get approved for whatever proposal he makes, but the presumption is that failing intersections can be fixed through something. I've never seen a situation where we say from now until the end of the world, you could never develop this property.
And my point is, why isn't that a condition of this approval?
Because it's a zone change, not a development proposal. So the development, what the hearings officer is actually doing is setting a bar, if I read it correctly, that the neighborhood, if I read this situation correctly, is going to use, that he's going to have to get over, which is that whatever, whether you want to put one house in here or 87 houses, you're going to have to come in with some strategy to help fix the intersection. And that's where you do it, because you can't really say, in some cases, this may be totally not the case, but I'm thinking, why don't we do that at this point? Development may, in fact, in some neighborhoods, I'm not saying in this case, be the only way to get something fixed.
But
if come in and build something that actually changes the intersection, right? I mean, that's happened up.
But if you're approving a zone change based on criteria that says you can only successfully change the zoning if services can be provided to the site, and if one of the bureaus that is responding to that says, well, currently we can't provide services to the site because the intersection fails, why is it inappropriate to say we can have the zone change as long as the condition of that change is that you addressed that concern before any development application of the failing intersection? I guess I'm not understanding that.
I mean, the reason would be that the zoning code makes no provisions for attaching all those kinds of things to that.
Then we would just turn down the application. Say, PDOT has said it's a failing intersection. Any more cars is worse.
So I think you have your point of view, I guess, is my point. I mean, okay.
And if I could, when they were talking about, when the hearings officer was responding to that comment, that was the neighborhood saying, we don't think you can put sewer on. We don't think you can put water through. And my point is, until the development application is submitted and these other permits are processed, the land could change.
I'm not addressing those issues.
Okay.
I'm specifically looking at this one criterion, the one bureau, and their identification the traffic. Of the failing intersection.
The point I was trying to make is there's a difference between the two situations. The traffic, we know what it is. The bureau did not say that there were not traffic systems available for the site. Their conclusion was exactly the opposite.
And again, I didn't see that. I see that your engineer said that. I don't see
where the hearings officer quoted from them their letter on page 10, where they do not take the position that you should deny this. They supported the application.
Page 10.
Continues to have no objection. There you go.
Yeah.
That's your relevant point.
I don't
point.
Think I have that either.
There's your relevant point, right?
Okay.
Just read that.
Okay.
It's done.
So the Office of Transportation, Mr. Haley, did ultimately say at the hearing that he has no problems with this plan.
And he submitted it in writing. I think here's his recommendation. Transportation Engineering Development Review continues to have no objection to the approval of the proposed zone change. That's a quote in the hearing, in the decision, on page 10.
Page 10, we're at?
That was the hearings officer quoting Mr. Haley.
I'm just asking you to point that out to me. I'm looking at the decision here.
Starts on page 9 in quotes, and it goes over to page 10, and it concludes with the recommendation I just read. That's from PDOT.
We must be looking at different.
Under recommendation, yeah.
Right? And
then, toward the bottom of page 10.
Indented, it says recommendation.
It's right here.
Yeah, I see that. I don't see the quote. I mean, transportation. Is that his words, or is he quoting the transportation
words?
Well, I mean, I think it's a factual matter that transportation signed off on this. The question that you appear to be posing, which I'm just trying to move us towards discussing and debating, because I think it's an interesting thing, is should there be some kind of requirement attached to say that you're not going to allow the zone change unless there's a guarantee that that will be happen later. I mean, I don't think there's any real dispute that transportation has signed off for the reasons in the way that you're questioning whether it should. Right. I mean.
Right. That's my point.
They have signed off to say all they're asked to say, which is it is possible to develop here.
If these things happen.
It's possible to come up with a plan to develop here. That's all they're being asked to say. And they're very rarely going to say that it's not possible. What it will take to do that, we don't know until they actually go through the development process.
And that will come back to council.
Yeah, and so that's all they've said, in fact. We'll come back to council if it's appealed, which, unless people work together,
I don't think it will come back to council.
The development proposal?
zone changes and changes the comp
plan
are appealable to you, I think everything else goes to LUBA. That's just how I read your code. But
I must have sat through a lot of hearings as a LUBA member up here then.
If it does, it does. I didn't read the code that way. But
My experience is just about everything is appealable to council.
It depends on whether it's a type 2 or a type 3 land division. And so until we know what that is, if it's a type 3 land division, it gets appealed here. If it's a type 2, it's going to get appealed to the hearings officer.
But the development proposal itself is what I'm talking about.
It may come back here. It'll be reviewed.
We would encourage you to work with the neighborhood and keep it away from us. So,
any further questions? Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm just reading this, but it says if additional right-of-way is needed for mitigation, the right-of-way must be obtained by the applicant prior to approval of the zone change.
What page is that?
This is in the letter handed to me November 16th, response to the Bureau of Development Services land use request by PDOT. Mitigation improvements.
Do we want to have representative from PDOT answer any questions?
Are you looking at the same letter I am?
I'm looking at the decision.
I'm looking at the November 16th. PDOT response to BDS's request for responses for this application, and it says additional right-of-way is needed for mitigation. The right-of-way must be obtained by the applicant prior to approval of the zone change.
Where is this thing?
Right, and subsequently at Mr. Haley's letter and comments, I think said at the hearing, said he determined they did not need additional right-of-way.
I'm looking at the documents you asked me to look at.
If you want.
Okay.
You want him to answer the question?
Oh, there we go.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Bob Haley, and I'm the staff person for your Office of Transportation. I'll hopefully try and straighten out some of the confusion. This application for a zone change goes through lots of different reviews and sometimes many responses from the bureaus before Bureau of Development Services staff feels they can take it forward with a recommendation in support. When this application was first submitted, it came with a traffic study, which I reviewed. There were three study intersections. We got 13th at Gertz and Marine, and we have the Philoma 6th and Marine Drive. And as you said, you're aware of it, it's an awkward kind of a Y intersection. With a zone change without any development proposed, we take a look at 20 years out for traffic. If you had a specific proposal, we can sometimes shorten that horizon down to a build-out kind of date of 5 or 6 years from when we'd expect it to be there. The approval criteria talk about adequate public services, adequate transportation services, from my perspective, have to be available or can be made available at the time of development and cover that whole 20-year horizon. The existing intersection at 6th and Philoma and Marine is not failing. It's not great, but it meets current city standards. So there's been some miscommunication, I think.
What is the hearings officer say?
I don't know why the hearings officer would have said that it's failing now.
The exact quote is, one intersection at Northeast 6th Drive, Northeast Philoma, and Northeast Marine Drive was found to operate at a level of service F.
When you look at, because we're looking at the year 2027, because that's when this application came in, is 2007, so we're looking 20 years out. When you look at that intersection in 2027 and just add the projected background growth that we use a model from Metro, which the City of Office Transportation uses, a very similar model and assumptions, then that intersection fails whether these get
in 2027.
In 2027.
He's not speaking to 2000.
I think he may just have paraphrased it, but that's what's going on. If you look in the actual traffic study, it'll say existing conditions at that intersection, and it's a service level of D, which is acceptable. It's not great, but it's acceptable currently.
Okay.
Then you go from there to 2027 background and 2027 adding on the trips.
I see.
It failed whether or not this project gets built or not.
I see.
In 2027. So I have to look at that and say, well, are adequate transportation facilities going to be available in 2027? The answer is at this intersection, no, it's failing. So we have to then take a look at, is there a mitigation possible at the time development comes in that would fix it and make it work? And at the first time the traffic report came in, they didn't really identify any mitigation measures for that intersection that would bring it back to acceptable levels. That's why I said, in order for PDOT to support this, you need to show some mitigation that will work, that we could condition the future development on. And the traffic consultant went out, took a look at, because in my letter that said that to him, that's what you quoted saying, if we need additional right-of-way, you're going to need it prior to PDOT being able to support this zone change, because I can't assume that I can make a developer go and get a piece of right-of-way
exactly.
in the future. So they took a look at the existing right-of-way width, and I believe 6th is a 50-foot with center strip paving, and Marine is such a width, and Philoma is such a width. And what they were able to determine was that by adding a left and right turn lane on 6th as you head towards Marine Drive, within that existing right-of-way, just by changing the striping and taking a gravel shoulder and adding another 8 feet of pavement, there is enough room to create a fix with just striping so that you're not holding everybody up who wants to go right on Marine Drive from 6 with everybody who's sitting there waiting to go left. And that brings it back to a level of service E, which is our minimum standard in 2027 with just some restriping and some pavement widening.
You said you wanted that as a condition of this approval. And it's
only
not-
if we needed extra right-of-way, which then I couldn't impose on a future subdivision to go out and obtain it. So that's why I was making it very clear. If we needed right-of-way, if you couldn't identify a mitigation that would fit within the right-of-way and needed more, then I couldn't be comfortable that services could be adequate for that intersection.
So how has that been addressed in this application?
It's been addressed by making the traffic engineer go out and take a look at the existing right-of-way widths, the geometry of those intersections, and propose something that could be done and conditioned on the future development to fix that intersection to work at acceptable levels.
And you have confidence that you, because I'm hearing you say a couple things, you're saying at one point you're not comfortable that the concerns you have will be taken into account future developments as a condition.
No, only that I wanted to make sure that we weren't going to be in a position where we would require the future developer of this site under consideration today to go and purchase right-of-way needed to fix that intersection.
But you are comfortable that the condition that the traffic engineer hired by the applicant identified as mitigation measures would be included as conditions in a future development?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you concurred with the transportation engineer's determination that no additional right-of-way or the fixes can be made without acquiring additional right-of-way?
Correct. Right.
Thank you.
I mean, Dick, it's an awkward intersection. We may have to, that striping for the right turn lane is going to occur right where Philoma comes in. So Philoma may end up having to have a no left turn at the end of it to reduce those conflicts. It's just a messy kind of intersection. If we had the commercial property across the street on the north side of Marine, it would make it a lot easier. We'd just redirect Philoma to some other direction. And as just another aside, when I first looked at this application, I had him kind of address, think about in the future, where future connectivity was going to go. When this project came in for a pre-application conference, they owned a parcel, not only the big 22 acres, and I'm not sure if they still own it, there was a parcel on the north piece that connected to Lakeshore Drive. And to me, that looked like a perfect place for a through street, because we didn't want, as you saw on the zone map, there's a lot of big dead-end streets out there. And now when you look at what the site plan is showing for sort of filling the east side to create land that's above the 100-yard floodplain and mitigating on the west side, well, that potential future street would go right through a brand-new wetland that gets constructed. So that may trump the connectivity requirement. What you saw was a conceptual plan with a loop road, not ideal for connectivity, but it's not the worst case in the world. So if we do not connect a future street to North Lakeshore Drive, there will be no cars from this project going to that intersection. There'd be no reason for them to go. If they're going to go either north to Marine at 13th or they're going to go to Gertz. There's absolutely nothing there. So if that development comes in without a through connection, then we will not make that required improvement of Philoma and 6 with the additional lanes, because they wouldn't be doing it. They wouldn't be contributing to it. So,
thank you. Did you folks have anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now hear from persons who support the applicant and oppose the appeal. Do we have a sign-up sheet?
Okay, well, one person signed up, Jason Ash, I believe his last name, Jason. You don't want to testify. It's up. I guess he's not testifying.
Okay. So now we'll have rebuttal by the appellant. Please come forward. And you have 5 minutes for your rebuttal. Okay.
A couple things about the transportation issue. We didn't get into that because it was really confusing, because at first, the first report, and I have these, I was kind of madly waving them back there, staff reports that the Transportation Bureau responded, actually Bob Haley, that stated on November 16th, 2007, based on lack of capacity at the intersection of Northeast Marine Drive at 6th and Northeast Philoma Road, Transportation Engineering Development Review cannot support approval of the proposed zone change, and the net increase of trips added to the transportation system will be 726,5757. So that was the initial response. Then they received more information and said that the results of the study show that Northeast Marine Drive at 13th and Northeast Marine Drive at Gertz would continue to operate at acceptable levels and in 2027, and that's where that figure of Northeast 6th and Northeast Philoma Road and Marine would be a service level of F. That projection, and that it's currently operating at D, we didn't have the capability to figure out if all these added trips would move it into a E or F situation. So that was our difficulty with that. So we couldn't really respond to the change in the course of action there. And then to respond to Mr. Haley's response that if they didn't build the inroad on Northeast South Shore Road, actually one of the staff recommendations to the hearings officer was, is if there were 82 houses proposed, which is what everybody had to use in this development since a proposal wasn't sent in. So it's really hard for us to respond, because at one moment we have to respond to 82 and then we have to say, no, there really isn't a proposal. But the staff said that there would be 82 projected single-family dwellings. The Department of Transportation said there has to be a road, and it would be on that access piece of property that would run through a wetlands, that would fill in a wetlands. And so it's kind of a moving target for us, because they say, well, if they don't build the road, then there wouldn't be any cars, and therefore there wouldn't be any traffic. But we have to look at it at what they said with the 82 projected proposed dwelling units. And that has been our difficulty all along, is at one point some people look at it with 82, and then they say, well, you can't look at development because there's not a development proposal. So depending on which argument it is, we can respond to both sides, but I don't know which ones at what point we need to respond to. My other question is if this land was overlooked with an environmental overlay, is there any precedent or any other cases in the city? Is there any way to research that to see what can be done to protect wetlands? Because this is a unique area, and you probably know the city better than I do, the entire city, but it's very unique that there's this amount of wetlands and this amount of floodplains in a neighborhood, and we believe that that should be protected. But our resources in this time frame that we've been dealing with this have not been able to determine if there's any other cases where a wetlands area or a floodplain area has been protected, has been revisited for this comp plan. And we don't have the resources to do that, but we would hope that we would be able to protect it, as opposed to say, oops, you came too late, and we're going to do the comp plan review later, and then this land then affects the people that are in that neighborhood. We had to rely on the expertise of the City Bureau staff, and they've been very helpful and supportive of any requests that we've had. But it's also from a difficult standpoint, because it's sort of institutional and history and conventional wisdom that you're dealing with in a lot of these issues, and they're very complicated matters, as we've seen here today with not only transportation but wetlands and the cut and fill requirements. And to just answer one of those questions, if a wetlands is filled in, the way we've been led to understand is that an equal amount has to be cut from the land. So if they cut 10 cubic yards, if they fill 10 cubic yards, they have to cut 10 cubic yards. And there's an immense amount of floodplain and wetlands and not as much proportionate land to cut. So that might be an issue as well. So those are my only points I wanted to point out, unless there are any other questions.
Thank you. Now time for council discussion. We have to have a motion for one of the following ways. One, council denies the appeal. Two, the council denies the appeal but asks that new information be considered or ask for amendment language. Or three, council grants the appeal and overturns a hearing officer's decision.
Mr. Mayor, I would move to deny the appeal and uphold the hearings officer's decision. And I will just briefly say I think that they do meet the criteria for it's an underlying it's a change in conformance with the comp plan. I think they meet the requirements. I think there are a whole lot of issues that are in front of developing it. I don't think the neighborhood has wasted your time by any stretch of the imagination becoming this smart on the issue, because I think that these issues will have to be addressed before anything is built. But I don't see an argument to not grant the zone change.
Sorry. Second. And second. Yes. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank both sides for making very persuasive arguments. I agree with the analysis that the rules don't allow for us to do anything other than the motion that's on the floor. Aye.
Leonard.
I appreciate the discussion, and I appreciate, Bob, your explanation. That was very helpful and responsive to the specific concerns I had. I am concerned about, I am very familiar with that area. I worked out in that area for a number of years. It is a very hazardous area in terms of traffic. And the staff has done a magnificent job in packaging this and in working with the neighborhood and explaining why they believe the criteria has been met. I respectfully disagree. I think that the improvements that should happen out there should happen now in anticipation of future development and future impacts, and not count so much on alternative routes or what may or may not be constructed in terms of infrastructure before the site is developed. And one other thing, and this isn't so much a specific criticism, but it is kind of a pet peeve of mine, and so, again, this isn't directed at any one entity. I wish we could develop a policy where when we have to rely on outside information, and this has been something I've suggested to PDC and others, that we set up a system where, in this instance, for an example, we would have a list of approved traffic engineers that worked in the private sector. And when a development was being proposed and they needed to do a traffic engineering study, the city, and in this instance, PDOT, would contract with this private sector engineer that would do the study, and then the developer would reimburse us for the cost. I'm concerned about the dynamic that's caused when the developer actually hires the consultant themselves, and then our staff does review, and they do a good job in reviewing, and I understand that. I just think the dynamic is one that is concerning, so I hope PDOT considers that kind of a model in the future. No.
Saltzman.
Well, I do believe that under the narrow criterion that we are faced with in the situation, that this zone change conforms with the comprehensive plan, first and foremost. That carries a lot of weight. And secondly, per the criteria, it's received the approval from all the relevant city agencies. So therefore, I will support this zone change. I think the neighborhood has raised a lot of issues, and I think those issues will definitely have to be addressed before the particular property here is developed. And those are some thorny issues. So I vote aye.
Stan.
I gave my reasoning, and I trust the staff will review the development proposal when it comes forward and make sure these issues are addressed. Aye.
Potter.
I'm going to vote aye as well, but I strongly suggest to the applicant that they do work with the neighborhood at the next phase of development, because to me, we are going to be losing some wetland, and I think that even though our decision is not based today on that particular criteria, is that I think it's important to the neighborhood. As I listened to the discussion from the neighborhood, it occurred to me that perhaps we need some kind of support within the city for neighborhoods who don't have the same kind of expertise or cannot afford to hire an attorney, and that perhaps we need to use the ombudsman's office or some office that can provide assistance so that at least you have more of a level playing field than you do now. But within the strict guidelines that we have, I think that the applicant met those guidelines, and it now moves to the next phase. I vote aye. Adjourn until next week.